Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to understand that, tomorrow's the exact same scenario as yesterday was. It's just as important of a game for us. It's a good opportunity for us to get ourselves right back in the series. And again, you don't want to be down 0-3, you don't want to be down 3-1 either. And we need to understand that that it's just as important, and we can't just be happy with last night. We got to keep going forward and keep building.
We knew last night was a big one for us, but tomorrow is going to be even a bigger one. And in order to win, we got to play a better game tomorrow than we did last night. They will, so we got to match that. And again, right from the puck drop, got to be ready to go and build it up again from there and play for whatever it takes to win a hockey game.
Well, I think we have to play better. I mean, they're going to play better, guaranteed. And I know we're going to have to play better if we want to win. There's no way we could play and do what we did yesterday and come out on top if we played the same. We have to be better.
Let's go.
I want to win, and I want to win now.
I want to win, man. That's all I care about.
Every game is big in my mind, regardless of when we play it. Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, Tuesday night. You know, every game is big, and, you know, especially where we're at right now, you know, from here on out, it's every game is a big game. So that's the way we approach it. And, you know, week in and week out is a big game.
That's it. It's all the marbles. I'm sitting in the house, I'm loading up the pump. I'm loading up the Uzi. I got a couple of M16s. Couple nines, I got a couple joints with some silencers on. I'm just loading up clips, a couple grenades, got a missile launcher with a couple, you know, missiles. I'm ready for war.
Just keep battling. They just keep battling. Keep battling. We said it was gonna be a tough guy game. And in a tough guy game, football in December, you gotta execute, and you can't leave plays on the field.
Held in here by Gramlin. Gramlin sends it back, shot by Koivu, on goal, rebound, score! Mikhail Gramlin for Minnesota. Gramlin with a power play goal, and the Wild have tied the hockey game 1-1. Off the right half wall for Brodin. Brodin in the high slot. Back to Koivu. Koivu shot, they score! It's Parisi! Koivu to Parisi! And Parisi scores his third goal of the series. And the Wild lead it 2-1. On it is Bufflin. Bufflin failed to clear. Is Gramlin able to hold it up? Get off for Stahl! He shoots, he scores! Across the line. Here's Brunette. He moves. Brunette back in. He scores. He scores. Minnesota has won. Minnesota has upset the Colorado Avalanche.
wasn't listening very close to the montage. But my guess is you just used the same one from last year, the year before, right? Because hasn't it been pretty much the same situation?
We've been here quite often,
down two games to one, back against the wall, back against the boards. It's not a series till we win tonight. And you know, that's okay. You know me. I think if there's anybody, not only am I the Radio Romeo and the dream of the everyday housewife, the common man and the gadfly, but I'm also the king of cutting corners. And if I can cut a corner, I'll cut a corner. So I don't even blame you if you said, you know what? Just use a montage from last year, throw it in there, no one will know. Same cliches. Because regardless of when it happened, if you put a microphone and a guy said, you know, down 2-1 to Winnipeg, what do you think? Well, it's tough. You know, we're down 2-1. We got to win a game. If we come out and play like we did last time, I think we got a pretty good chance to win the game. That could be said every single year, right? Couldn't that have been said last year? You know, if we play like we did win in that game, you get my point.
It's like the first day of Vikings training camp with the television cameras down there.
Absolutely. The same. That's exactly right. Where the first shot, when they, now it'll be different this year, I guess. It would be difficult to pass off any video this year or last year is coming this year because they're in a new location. They're at Winter Park Revisited.
Rosen's going to actually have to show up this year.
He's going to have to show up. Yeah. It's not where you can just go grab some of that stock footage of guys showing up with a TV under their arm and a duffel bag in the other, walking to Gage Hall, because it was the same exact video footage every time. Same with the sound bites. Some people would say same with the Common Man program. However, you know what I have here, Tenneby? I wanted to show you this. See what I have right here? What does this look like?
It looks like a shoebox to me.
It just looks like a shoebox to you. But you know what it is? To me, it's a lifetime of memories. I finally found it. Inside this shoebox, videotape after videotape of Deuce and baby brother Peter from the time they were born. For those that don't have kids, do you videotape your kids and the things that they do?
Yeah, on your phone you can do it.
Yeah. So you do, how often do you do that?
Not too often.
Yeah. There comes a time where
like when they're walking for the first time.
Same with me. I was that parent that when Deuce was first born, documented almost every moment of his life on video. Constantly running the video. Got to get this. I feel bad. The reason I have the box, I had misplaced this. I couldn't light my keys or my wallet or my sunglasses, whatever. And so I could not find this for the longest time. And there was a pit in my stomach that somehow I had taken this box of videos. Because I'll go through purgings at the house every once in a while where it's like, I got to get the house cleaned up. I'm going to go in that storage room and I'm going to go through that storage room. I'm going to take out everything that I don't use anymore, don't need. I'm going to throw it out, downsize a little bit, right? And I was afraid that I had accidentally thrown these. And it was right in front of my face. It was in a closet that I actually thought I'd looked through every box on that closet shelf, but apparently I had not looked through this. But it was during one of my purgings this weekend as I was snowed in that I was doing, you know, out with the old, in with the new. I was washing all my winter wear, folding it up, storing it, and getting out all my summer. Because summer is going to come eventually, Tenneby, believe it or not. So I found all these tapes. And now what I want to do, though, is it's too difficult to put them back into the tape machine and then hook up the cords to the TV. I'm going to bring them in and have them, because you can transfer them to DVDs, as Deuce used to call them. He called them DVDs. And I'm going to have them transferred to DVDs. I probably have, I don't know, it looks like there's 20 of them here. But you always do stop. I think most new parents can attest to this, or veteran parents can attest to this, especially with the first child. You're videoing everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a while,
pictures of everything.
Yeah, pictures of everything. And then it starts to slow down as they get older. You know, I'll do it, but next time. You know, I want to get that first soccer game or the next soccer game, but you know what? I'll just wait. Well, what I had to let baby brother Peter know, because what we plan to do is I'm going to put these on DVDs, and then we're going to spend time, like, once a week, the family sit down in front of the TV, throw in a DVD, and watch the kids when they were little tiny babies, right? But I had to alert baby brother Peter, you're going to get a little... you're going to get short shrift.
Yeah.
Because the second kid, it's, you know, and again, you love him as much as the first, right? At least I do. There are times I like the second child better than the first child. That varies from day to day, to moment, right?
Hour to hour.
But I had to let him know it's not because we don't like you as much or didn't care as much about you. There's just something about, and maybe there are other people that are better.
And you're busier.
And you're busier.
You're following two kids around as opposed to one.
That's it.
Because we've done the same thing with, Samson hasn't had nearly as many pictures or videos taken as Leo.
That's it.
You know, Leo, too, is the first one in the entire extended family. You get a nice, cute video of him and then text it out to everybody in the extended family.
Exactly.
Doesn't happen as much with Samson.
InstaChat, Snapgram, all those things, right? And so, and Face-Off.
And I was that second child. I'm a middle child. I still, to this day, don't like my picture being taken.
Really?
I don't enjoy it, yeah.
So
what it is.
When we're at the fair and people want to take pictures of you, you'd rather not?
No, I would love to do it for them.
Oh. But does it make you feel uncomfortable?
Well, those I'll never see.
Oh, I see what
I don't like
saying.
Looking at my own pictures.
Yeah. I love photos of myself. Have you noticed the Woodbury magazine sitting on my desk? Cover. Second time I've been. They're running out of material in Woodbury because this is the second cover story they've done on me. Of course, the last one was a long time ago. I mean, it's been about 13, 14 years. So, and I don't know if I'll be around in 13, 14 years, so this probably is the last cover story they'll ever do for Woodbury Magazine. But this box means everything to me. I can't wait to see. Because then there's going to be, I don't even know what's, I mean, it's all Deuce and Baby Brother Peter and three quarters Deuce and a quarter Peter. But then there's, I'm sure there was when the wife was taken of me and Deuce goofing off in the yard. There's just so much here that I can't wait to get it done. But this is such a burden I just had that. Do you ever have that pit in your stomach where you think, like, I thought these were gone forever.
Sure.
I thought it was over, and now here they are, and I will be, maybe I'll even put some of them on the program page, because I know everybody wants to see videos of other people's kids. That's
yes.
What everybody,
yes, they do.
Isn't that exactly what you want to see? How do you feel when people go, I got to show you a picture of my kid? I actually enjoy it, to be
honest.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, there was a time, especially if you don't have kids, you're really not in the mood to watch pictures of other people's kids because you don't understand how exciting it is for that first step or the first bike ride or the first dis or the first dat, the emphasis on the lat, right? Like, how many times have you seen this video, Tennessee, of the first birthday where they put the cake in front of them and then they're just throwing it? Everybody's got that video, right? And if you don't have kids, you don't care that much. But if you have kids, you like to see it because it kind of...
I wish I could do that as an adult, by the way, on my birthday.
Don't you generally
just put a big cake in front of me?
I thought you did do that.
I'll just grab it with my hands.
So anyway, so this is a big day for me. It's a big night, too, for a couple of local clubs. We'll dissect a little bit of this, a little bit of that, emphasis lat, when we return to the grind.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's cash to 200-200.
There he sits with a pen and a yellow pad. What a handsome lad. That's my boy. BRLFQ spells mom and dad. Well, that ain't too bad, 'cause that's my boy. Well, you can have your TV and your nightclubs, and you can have your drive-in picture show. I'll stay here with my little man near. We'll listen to the radio, bide my time and watching Scotty grow.
Couple 13, 14, Pastor on the Common Man, a program. What do we call it? Notes and quotes, votes and notes, quotes and misquotes. I can't remember what we call it.
Quotes and notes.
Quotes and notes. Do you have the open?
I will after the computer loads properly.
And I probably should have alerted you to this. I mean, if people wonder if it's just a bit that there is no rhyme, no reason to the show, and that we make no preparations prior to, this should be proof positive. I didn't even know I was going to do it until just now, but I was reminded of a quote I saw that I wanted to get into. As a matter of fact, there's going to be kind of a compare and contrast between the situations the two local teams are in here in the playoffs, the Minnesota Wild of the NHL and the Minnesota Timberwolves of the NBA. Here's the open.
Time now for quotes and notes.
I can't find the quote. Do you have it? Where Bruce Boudreau says, if we play like we did last game, we won't win. Didn't he say something to that effect?
I'm pretty sure I played in the montage.
Oh, you did play in the montage. Maybe that's, well, I think I heard it before that, but maybe I was reminded of it.
So I have two, during, so I'm not sure which one's which, but.
Well, I think we have to play better. There. I mean, there's, they're going to play better, guaranteed. And I know we're going to have to play better if we want to win. There's no way we could play and do what we did yesterday and come out on top if we play the same. We have to be better.
Now, I've seen some of the reaction from the hockey community. Some people are kind of scratching their heads over that quote. It's like, well, no, if we play like we did in game three and routed them 6-2, I think we're going to win again. I get what the coach is saying, though. He doesn't think Winnipeg had their best effort. Is that what he's...
Yeah, the team they played didn't have their A game. He's expecting their A game tonight. So we need to match that or be better, yeah.
But what did we get from the Wild? Was that not the Wild's A game then? They actually have a notch better than a 6-2 route of Winnipeg? See, I've not seen that from this team. I mean, have we?
You know, the scoring was dominating, but, you know, they still got outshot.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't like it was a game in which the ice was completely tilted when you're in there. You know, it was so much better compared to what we'd seen the first two games.
Okay.
I mean, it was night and day difference there. But the score was dominating, but I can't say the actual...
Do you think this team is capable of playing better than they did the other night?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as really playing a perfect game.
Well, no, but if there is no such thing as playing a perfect game, well, how far better can they get? I mean, can they play the perfect game? See, that's why I know what the coach is saying, and I'm taking him too much at, what's the word I'm looking for? Give me an intermission music, would you? Literally. Maybe I'm taking him too literal, right? That it's like, because to me it's like, well, that's a pretty good effort. I mean, again, there's only so much you can do. Most people feel like player for player, Winnipeg's a better club.
Can I try to use a golf analogy that
please,
you can relate to?
Because I'll tell you what, before you do it, I'll just say, I think if they put out the same effort they did the other night, they'll win again this evening, I think.
The first time I ever beat you in golf was at North Oaks Country Club.
Yeah.
I shot an 86, which for me, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not great, not outstanding, but for me, that's a good score. You shot a 90, which is way worse than I think I'd ever seen you play before.
Yeah.
So if you would have interviewed me after the next game, hey, you know, next round, hey, do you think you can beat the Common Man again? I would say, I got to be better. You know, Common's not going to shoot worse than an 86 again. So if I pop up another 86, which is good for me, I played well, but that's not going to be Common next time because he's going to be better than the 90 he just shot.
So you're comparing yourself to the Minnesota Wild, and you're comparing me to the Winnipeg Jets on a golf course. It's a bit of a...
I thought it was a pretty good analogy.
Well, it's a stretched and a strained one, but I guess I get your point. Okay, that's okay. Meanwhile, the other local winterized team... I wouldn't say that was the best they could play because they really didn't. I think it was more that Houston was so awful. They missed a chance to win a game. We talked about that yesterday, right? I mean, Houston was terrible from three-point range, other than Harden. Harden and the Capella kid played well. The rest was a struggle. If the Wild... So what I'm saying is, if the Wild, who lost by 3 points... If they play the same way they played
the
Wolves, if they play the way they did last night or on Sunday night, why didn't they get beat by 20 or 30 points? Even though they only lost by 30.
Sure.
Or by three Sunday night, the same type of performance where Big Meow is basically a non-factor, Wiggins is a non-factor, and Butler's a non-factor, they'll get drilled because I don't think Houston could play, other than Harden and Capella, I don't think they could play much worse than that. I mean, Chris Paul was off his game from what they tell me. I mean, he just didn't look like one of the best players in basketball. And so on the notes and quotes thing, I guess I just find it interesting that you had a team that destroyed another club and we think we got to play better to beat them. And then you look at the Wolves end of things and you would think, well, if they play like they did against Houston again, boy, they'll have a chance to win that game because everybody expected blowouts, right? I think we all kind of did. We thought, well, that's sort of been the, that's when these two teams play each other, just as recently as this year. I'm not even talking about in past history. This year, I think, was 3 18-point losses or something. One was a little bit closer, was 9 or 10, but they were routes. And so the only thing I think is, well, if we could duplicate what we did. So both teams obviously can't duplicate what they did. When I would have thought for sure, the recipe that I saw, I guess I'm not a hockey guy, I don't understand. I think, because I think part of what the Wild, answer me this, is part of what the Wild did on Sunday night, is that part of the reason Winnipeg
didn't play their A game? Much better.
Yeah. So in other words, I don't think it was just like, well, we really didn't play very well. We played our normal game, but boy, Winnipeg was just really off. I think part of that, I would think, was the Wild sort of dictated Winnipeg's play in some ways,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Or are they that superior to us? Because that's the way I feel about the Houston-Minnesota series, is that I don't think Minnesota dictated what happened in that game and kept it so close. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was Houston played so bad, whereas I don't think it was because Winnipeg wasn't on their game, as the coach is alluding to. I think it was because Minnesota dictated a lot of that play. Now, part of it may have been Winnipeg was off a little bit, but I think it was more with the Wild. Here, I'm trying to, basically, I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be the duckies and bunnies for the Wild right now. And I'm trying to say is I liked what I saw on Sunday night. And I think if they play like they did Sunday night against Winnipeg, they will win again tonight.
You like that?
And then it'll be two games. And then guess what that means? Now it's a series.
Love that one.
So I guess it's just different ways of approaching it. I'll have to take the coach's word for it. He's been involved in the game. That was a great boot hockey goalie. Even I can admit that's not on the same level as the National Hockey League. Even though playing boot hockey goalie isn't that much different than playing a goalie on skates, you still got to stop the shots.
Sure.
Isn't that still what you got to do? You got to stop the shots.
Same equipment,
with the exception, instead of skates,
yeah,
you're wearing boots. But I'd like to see what we did against Winnipeg again. I think that was the blueprint for success. Keep the game as close as you can for as long as you can, 0-0, and then
I always love that.
Get out to a 3-1 lead, they score, and then just let all heck break loose. Score. Just here's the key in really pretty much any sport. If you score more points than the other team, you're going to win the game. Right?
Brilliant.
I think the key for the Wild is to get the puck by Hellebuck.
You get the puck by Hellebuck. Do we have another rhyming one?
And be rough with Buff.
Be rough with Buff. And is the guy that got injured, is he...
Tyler Myers.
Tyler Myers, is he in or out? Do we know?
I don't know if it's official, but I believe he's going to be out. At least at morning skate today, he was not on the ice.
He was not on the ice. I never realized what a missing piece he was. If he's gone, how good he really is.
He's good, but not... I mean, he scored 2 goals in this series, but okay. He's not, you know... He's not an elite, great defenseman, but...
All right. It's not like the Wild losing Suter.
But, you know, it's also the difference. I don't know the new guy they're bringing in, Tucker Pullman, who I don't know him. You know, he's a young kid. You have no idea, you know, what the gap is between him and Myers is. So it's still a significant loss, but.
Had a nice tease worked out for the next segment involving maybe I should start writing my teases down. Let me just say it this way, Tenneby. There's a brand, it's not brand new, but how do I say it? I have something else for you to be terrified of at your front door.
Uh-oh.
Remember how the goose terrified your dog?
Yes.
I have something else to be terrified of when it comes, that's a good tease. I have something else you should be terrified of if it comes to your front door. I'll explain on the other side of the break on the Fan.
The Common Man.
Wait. So we're just going to wing it?
Piper, there's a big difference between winging it and seeing what happens. Now let's see what happens.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
All Blue Plate restaurants are partnering with Corner House, a local child abuse evaluation and training center, to raise awareness and donations to help keep kids safe. Donate at any Blue Plate restaurant during the month of April and learn more at KFAN.com, keyword events.
Catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you. Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together.
Couple 13-14 passed. I'm assuming, tend to be, that it's probably a 50-50 split, all depending upon what side of the blue line you are. If you are on the Wild's blue line side, you think Foligno, is that his name?
Foligno?
Foligno cheap-shotted the guy for the Jets, right? No,
yep.
You don't think he did. And if you're on the Jets side of the blue line, you think he did. What I found interesting, and again, it goes to you, what a small, 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 small world it really is.
Foligno.
Foligno. And the guy that got hurt is?
Tyler Myers.
They're buddies. They played together.
They both played in Buffalo together.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're like best friends, but they're pals. And he said, "Why? Well, I wouldn't do that to a pal." And even though I don't know Foligno from Fellini, I tend to take his word for it. I don't think you would cheap shot it. I mean, all's fair in love and war. Because it's the cup, would you do something that to a pal of yours?
Well, not only that, but most times when people are falling down, your first thought isn't, "Hey, as I'm falling, I'm going to cheap shot this guy." Right?
Right.
You're thinking, "I got to brace myself for the fall." You're like, you're trying not to fall, or if I'm going to fall, I have to land in a way that I'm not going to hurt myself or that I can get back up right away. It's not like mid-fall, because he was falling into him. You're going, "I'm going to sucker punch him in the knee at this very moment."
Do we believe that there will be a retaliation? Is that possible? Will somebody
it's
run at
possible.
Him tonight? That's sort of the nature of the game. I mean, not every game and not every team and every player, but because it's the cup, I know how the fans feel about it. Have there been any, from Winnipeg's point of view, has there been any accusations that I've missed? Are there members of the Winnipeg Jets team, players, that are saying, "Yeah, I think he cheap shotted him"?
I'm not so sure about the players. Their coach basically said he should have gotten a hearing to be suspended. Paul Maurice said that.
Okay.
So now, I don't know how much of that is. It's the thing at this time of the year with coaches, they like to do a lot of psychological ploys through the media.
Okay.
So, do you really think Foligno should be suspended, or are you just trying to send a message to the official, you know, the referees for the next game?
Oh, sure.
You better watch that guy because he's cheap. He's dirty. So have an extra eye on him, and any little thing he does, why don't you call a penalty for us? You know what I mean? Or, you know, is he trying to get his own team extra motivated now? Or is he sending a message to the Wild, trying to intimidate them, saying,
sure,
pretty much saying, "Well, we're going to get you for this now, so you better be careful when you have the puck."
You know
what I mean?
I guess I can understand. That would only seem to be the most logical reason a coach would come out and say that, is that he's trying to use it as a mind game. He's trying to look for some type of psychological edge. Because to me, and this isn't, you know me, I mean, I'm the purveyor of positivity. I'm Ducky and Bunny, but even though I am, I can see through. To me, that didn't appear to be, in any way, shape, or form, "I'm going to take this guy out and see if I can knock him out of the game, or at least rough him up to intimidate him." I did not see that. But you talk about coach speak. Did anybody else see this? And I can't remember if it was the Houston coach. Is it? No, D'Antonio is the coach for Michigan State. Who's the coach for the Houston Rockets? It was either him or maybe it was Stevie Kerr. They were talking about a controversial play.
Yeah,
that
it's Mike D'Antoni.
Okay. It was either D'Antoni or maybe it was Steve Kerr. And I thought I heard, you know where they'll grab a coach, like during a game, and talk to him, like the start of the second quarter, whatever? One of them basically admitted, and I just loved it because I've always felt this way. Because you know how we always talk about how every player, every coach always thinks their team has never committed a foul, and they're always fouled?
Yes.
The coach even said, he admitted, he goes, because the person asked about it, he goes, "Well, you know me." He didn't say, "You know me," but he said, how did he say? I wish I could find that. I wish I could find the quote. He said, "I really didn't see it. I'm just doing what I always do and just complaining about it because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And it is funny because you'll see it, like Tibbs is prime example. Anytime there's a call against the Wolves, it's like, come on, that wasn't, you know, or if the call goes for their, if it goes against their team, or if the call, let's say Houston, it's the foul isn't called, well, then it's the same thing. It's like, well, it had to have been a foul. And it's always annoyed me I see it happen in youth basketball with parents.
Oh, yeah.
Billy's never, one of the things I joke on the sideline, Peter doesn't get called from any fouls. But when he does, what do you think the first thing I say is? I go, well, my kid's never fouled before. That's wrong. That's not. And I'm doing it jokingly, but I think most parents feel that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
My kid has never committed a foul. And if my kid missed a shot, it had to have been because he was fouled. And so coaches, obviously, he admits that that he really didn't see the play. He really doesn't know. He just knows if the call goes against me, I'm supposed to complain about it. Which
happens a lot in the NBA.
Well, I think he's basically saying it happens all the time with him. And so my assumption is now when I look at a coach, sometimes I've always felt like, wow, he probably really got a good look at that and thinks what's wrong. None of them really ever believe anything they're saying. They're just saying it.
Trying to influence the rest.
But then I've always wondered, and I guess this is where I would admire referees, because I've always been under the impression that if you're a referee and a coach is riding you, aren't you likely not to give them the benefit of the doubt on another call subconsciously? You know, we were talking yesterday on the Starbucks thing. Remember this, and I read about it, I'm starting to believe it now, this unconscious or...
Unconscious bias?
Yeah, unconscious bias kind of a thing. And it obviously on the basketball court, it's not as serious as of an issue, right? But my point is that, well, this guy's been riding me, so I'm just assuming, you know, do you see what I'm saying? So if this coach has been riding me about every call that I've made, so I'm not going to give his team the benefit of the doubt on any call because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's not the same, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it depends on the official because I think one official can go one way with being ridden, and the other official can go the other way with it. I do think some are, I do think some are influenced by a coach riding.
But if most coaches, like either the Houston coach, because I can't pronounce his name again, or Stevie Kerr, if what they are admitting to is true, and most coaches I would think would fit that, wouldn't we see? I don't even know what I'm trying. If you know that a referee, that the potential is there then to not get calls. In other words, you think that was a bad call and I'm tired of riding me. The next time there's a benefit, wouldn't you fear that? And then you would back away from that and you wouldn't ride a referee? You see what I'm saying? Why would you keep riding the referee every single game? That's why I think what I'm trying to do is compliment referees, because I'm thinking they must have some pretty thick skin if they're still able, for the most part, if they are, calling it as they see it, even though some guy has been riding you in the entire game and you feel like, I'm sick of this guy riding me. I'll give him a taste of his own medicine and I'll give him a call. You think that call was bad? Wait till you see the next one, buddy boy. And it doesn't seem like that happens.
The best officials won't allow the emotions of the
game. I like that.
Affect their decision.
But if I was an official, I would find a different way to work it. I would not be right, but it must work because they all do it. They all complain and whine all the time. Quotes and notes. I don't know. Tenneby, ever been approached by a door-to-door salesman?
Sure, I guess at some point. Yeah.
I don't think it's as popular as it once was. I do know about the only door-to-door salesman I get will be rodent control guy. Because they'll find out that there are voles in our neighborhood, and rodent control guy will knock on the door and say, hey, I was just in a neighborhood talking to some of your neighbor pals, and you got rodents running around.
I had that exact thing happen within the last couple of years.
That's it.
Yep.
Rodent control guy. Or the other one you get is local athlete from one of the high school teams. Yeah, I'm here for Eastridge High School's football team, and I'm selling peanuts
yep.
to help the team, and if you'd give me $20, I'll give you a box. Or they don't even do food stuff so much anymore. Usually it's some type of a little 20 coupon where you get $5 off an oil change and you feel obligated, right? The kids here, he's working hard. You want to help youth. How about...
By the way, the rodent person?
Yes.
I always love how they try to name drop other neighbors. Like, I was just talking to Kathy down the street, and I don't know who Kathy is. They think I know my neighbor's names. I don't know all my neighbor's names.
Yeah.
But they think that's going to be the one that sells me the hook.
Absolutely. Well, now I'm reading, this is Fish Wrap Factory, West Side of the River, the B section, headline, vacuum sales take pushy to new level, door-to-door tactics by company frighten anger residents in several cities. I didn't even realize the door-to-door salesman with a vacuum cleaner existed anymore. I didn't know that. I thought especially, I mean, with the advent of Amazon, I mean, there are fewer people, I think, going to brick-and-mortar stores than there once was. I would have thought nobody deals with a door-to-door salesman, and I thought door-to-door sales were basically a thing of the past, but not according to this story. There are several instances in this Fish Wrap West story where there are vacuum cleaner salesmen getting very aggressive with the people they're visiting. A guy in Shakopee says, vacuum cleaner salesman appeared at his door. He said he appeared to be in his early 20s, spent nearly 2 hours demonstrating a $2,500 Kirby vacuum cleaner, ignored his request to leave. Then, the resident says, a supervisor showed up and told him the salesman needed one more sale to earn a reward trip.
You've got to be
kidding
me.
And apparently the supervisor says, don't you feel bad? You just wasted this kid's entire night. You're not going to buy anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, no! I mean, the story goes on to say, homeowners in various parts of the metro area found themselves opening their doors to salespeople who, according to police reports, use over-the-top tactics to hawk vacuum cleaners. And it seems like in every case, it's the Kirby Vacuum Cleaner Company. Because there is a comment in the story from somebody from Kirby, that's the only way they sell those vacuums. You cannot buy them in a store, apparently. Several homeowners point to representatives with Burnsville-based RG Enterprises in particular for arm twisting they find annoying, confusing, and downright scary. The owner of RG said in an email to Star Tribune he was sorry for frustrations caused in his business and that the home demonstration approach sometimes raises eyebrows, but so far his company sold 140 vacuums door to door, 140 of them. Gerber says, because I'm not with all the salespeople who affiliate with my business all the time, I sometimes don't know of the things that aren't as they should be until after the fact. I know the Kirby company does not tolerate pushy sales tactics. And somewhere here, it says where I think Kirby only sells there. It says four companies besides RG also sell Kirby vacuum cleaners in the metro on our door-to-door. Said Hallie Shipshack, chief compliance officer for Cleveland-based Kirby, that's the only way they are sold. Happened in Isanti. Isanti Mayor George Wimmer said that RG representatives came to his home, wouldn't leave, and even wedged their foot in his door so he couldn't close it. The city revoked RG's sales permit back in October 2016. There's another story where a guy had to pull a gun and tell him to leave at gunpoint. That's what the story says. Where's the gun one? That wasn't the case with the White Bear Lake man who complained to the Better Business Bureau with the RG sales pitch and said he nearly had to use physical force to remove these knuckleheads from my home. When they wouldn't stop their spiel after 2 hours, he brandished his gun. Now, somebody's got to explain something to me. First of all, when you open the door and you see the guy in the tie and he's got a vacuum cleaner, do you just say, not interested, and close the door immediately? I'm trying to shift part of the blame here a little bit, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'm hoping there's somebody out there. Has anybody called in yet?
Yes, two people.
Oh, I can't get my call screener on. It's froze solid. Oh, now I got it, I think. Hold on. Okay. Call screener. Move it over. Enlarge it.
The names show up?
But I don't have the names showing up, but I do have them. Who do I have? Which lines?
How about
oh,
now?
Oh, there they are now. They're beautiful. Let's start with free agent hockey fan guy. Free agent hockey fan guy. You're on the fan. What brings you to the Grum today?
Yeah, I actually used to work for Kirby maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
It's as advertised. I actually did not make it through the whole trading process because when I go through the trading process, they have you kind of tested out on your families.
Okay.
And
now your families have disowned you.
Yeah, pretty much. They have a process where you kind of go through certain points of the sale and you're demonstrating how to do it, kind of what you were saying. And I would call into my supervisor and say, yeah, they're not taking the deal. And then they would say, well, try going, you know, 2200. And then you would, you know, kind of continue doing whatever it is for the demonstration. And you'd say, all right, how about 2200? And they say, no, I don't want to pay $2,200 for a vacuum cleaner. And then you kind of repeat the process and you go as low as you possibly can. And then I actually almost got fired because I couldn't sell Kirby's. Because for me, I'm not a salesman, so I didn't think that selling somebody a $2,500 vacuum was a good deal.
Well, let me ask you this. How far were you allowed to talk them down? Were they allowed to talk you down? I mean, was there a bottom line price? I have some person that just sent me an email that says, salesman came by a few years ago, $2,500. I got him down to $800, traded him some stereo equipment for his floor model. Still have it today, and it runs great, but yes, they were persistent. How low were you able to go?
So when I was doing this training run, I would get down to about 1,000, and they said you have to sell this machine for 1,000, and it was almost threatening. I'm like, well, what? They're not going to buy it, so I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. So yeah, I have heard of some guys will take bribes, you know, like stereo systems, or I've heard like when I started there, they would be like, oh, I sold a Kirby to Adrian Peterson. I'm like, okay, well. You're kind of explaining your demographic. I don't really know many NFL players that would, you know. So, to me, it was just more of a pyramid scheme than anything because I couldn't sell it, and they nearly fired me, and I kind of went in one day, and I was like, all right, guys, I'm done. I can't do this.
And that was the end of it. For agent, hot guy, a fan guy, thanks. I got to go because I'm up against a break. And now we're getting inundated with phone calls, Tennessee.
So we can push 5 questions back if you want.
Let's push 5 questions back because this is better. Instead of the 5 questions, we're going to ask me what the... I think the Wild are going to win tonight. I think the Wolves are going to lose tonight. I think the Twins are going to get rained out in Puerto Rico. And I like that they signed Nick Easton. Josh, John, Jay, and John. We got Johns and Joshes and Jays, all with the letter J. All want to talk about horror stories regarding a door-to-door salesman. That's next here on The Fan.
She wants everything she wants.
Couple 13, 14, Pastor, on the Common Man program. We've struck a nerve again every day, Tenneby. I cease to be amazed. What does I cease to be amazed? Does that mean I'm not amazed anymore, or I am amazed? We could talk controversial topics like Wild, Wolves, Twins, Vikings, and not get a phone call. As soon as you talk about Kirby, vacuum cleaner sales, door-to-door, phones ring off the hook. People prefer that because it strikes a nerve with somebody, right? I mean, yeah, Wild got to play better than they did the other night to win. Wolves need to shut. Wolves have to hope Houston's off on their game again. Twins have to hope for no rainout, and the Vikings are headed to the big game. But when it comes to vacuum cleaner sales, story, Fish Wrap Factory West Side today, where vacuum cleaner salesmen all over the Twin Cities, very aggressive in their sales approach. It reminds me of, I don't remember what sitcom it was. It was a long time ago because I've not watched a situation comedy in a long, long time. It was a Kramer-like character. I think it might have been, could it have been the television show Taxi? Where vacuum cleaner salesman comes, knocks on the door, right? Gets let in. It's a scene in a sitcom. Takes out a big bag of dirt and dumps it onto the floor in order to demonstrate the vacuum. Then he goes to his bag and all of a sudden he goes,
brilliant.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I'm selling encyclopedias. And maybe it's not as funny as me delivering it as was, because you thought he's going to pull a vacuum cleaner out, you know? And it was, well, no, I'm selling encyclopedias. So here's this big batch of dirt on the guy's floor. I thought it was, well, you got a chuckle out of it.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was very good. And I'm just telling you, if he's not even going to get in my door, but I've got a vacuum cleaner and I don't feel a need for, I guess if you're in the market for a vacuum, how, you know, what are the chances though that he knocks on your door and he goes, Kirby vacuum cleaner sales, I'd like to demonstrate my product. You go, I just happen to be looking for a $2,500 vacuum cleaner. You could buy a car for that. I mean, it'd be the kind of car that would double in value when you fill it up with gas, but still, you could buy a car for $2,500. How good must that vacuum be? I mean, you got to be careful not to get it around small children or animals. It'll suck that thing right up. And you know what the worst thing for me about vacuum cleaner sales people are? Is they sort of have attachment issues. Who do you think Rit Rat wrote that? Who does that sound more like to you?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go Sweeney's guy in that one.
No. It was more Amsterdam.
Dang it.
Yeah, it didn't have Larry Mondello guy written on it.
No.
No, it didn't. We have lots of people. Let's take the calls in the order in which they were
the received. Attachment one was definitely Maury.
Yes.
I was leaning Maury, but the rest of it didn't seem like Maury.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take some calls in the order in which they were received. Jay, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling. Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Jay. I've told you sold Kirby vacuum cleaners for a couple 13, 14 years.
Well, I had a few to that, but yeah. Probably 20 years ago now, almost 25. I graduated high school and got a job, or started as a job, to sell vacuums. And a lot of what the first caller was talking about was exactly what I had 25 years ago. They were very pushy. I was specifically told by the guy training me to, if they close the door in my face, to stick my foot in the door so they can't close the door all the way.
You gotta be kidding.
You gotta be kidding me.
There's an echo in this room.
Yeah, and I did it for about 2 weeks and was terrible at it, and sold one to the little old Navy lady next door to my future wife's house, and that was it.
Is that how you and your future wife met? Did you stick your foot in her door trying to sell her a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to try to give my wife a vacuum cleaner. That would be bad, even back then. So.
Yeah.
Not to get into your personal business, but how much were they paying you, or were they, how much, I guess, was it all commission-based?
Back then, I remember I would get $125 if I sold a vacuum.
Okay.
And they told me that I could sell one to two vacuums a week, so $125 to $250 back in the mid-90s is what it was. I was supposed to make.
Did you have medical insurance? Because I'm assuming there are a lot of broken feet in this business. Because I'm telling you, stick your foot in my door, and I'm opening that door. Oh, come on back in. And then I'm giving it a pretty good slam. I mean, I'm not going to cripple you for life so that it has to be amputated, but I'm going to give you a pretty hard. I mean, I'm just telling you, how did you get? Were some people just adamant to get out of here? Did most people give in then and let you in?
I did the family and friends thing, so I showed all my family members and the lady next door to my wife's place. She just was interested in it and purchased it. It was actually her second one. She had two, one for upstairs and one for downstairs. But
that's a good salesman.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but after that, I think I sold one more to an elderly lady, and her kids came home and made her return it.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the phone call. So what do you do now for a living?
I'm a firefighter.
Well, the firefighters, you know what? And a firefighter is by the way, thanks for your service, because you put your life on the line if someone is, you have to respond to a four-alarm fire. So thanks for doing that. I really appreciate that. Thanks. Right. I couldn't. I don't think I could do that. I mean, I got to think, if the neighbor's house was burning down and the neighbor said, you know, my kid's up in there, I think I would. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd cower in the corner and curl up and run the other way, but I'd like to think I'd go give it a shot to try to get into the house. But I don't, firefighters, that's bravery to me. Those are the heroes. You know, they talk about sport. I've had this discussion with you before. Sports heroes. I don't think anything done in a sporting event is heroic. I mean, you can use that word, but to me, heroic is if you're a soldier, if you're a fireman, a policeman, something of that nature, where you're putting your life on the line. To me, lifeguard. It's heroic. If all of a sudden someone's being pulled out by the ebb tide, right?
Yeah.
Or would it be the other tide? And you go out there and swim out there to try to bring that person back in, knowing that you might not come back either. To me, that's heroic. The one thing I've heard about door-to-door vacuum cleaner sales is that they kind of suck. But lately they've been picking up. So who do you think wrote that?
More Amsterdam.
No, it was a regular listener, but not one of the staff writers.
Oh, okay.
Do I send that to rewrite and have it punched up, or do I give him a junior staff writer for that, or we let that one go?
I'd like to see a little bit more out of him first before you give him the promotion.
I think I would too. Our next call comes from John. John, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
You know, it's so funny you just brought that up about the lifeguard. That was actually a lifeguard about 10 years ago and did a rescue reviving a 3-year-old boy at the YMCA, and that was kind of like my proudest moment ever. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
I actually called because these door-to-door guys, about 8 years ago, I had Windows Concepts come to my house, and they were like, hey, let's get you a new window. And I was like, you know, I don't think I need one. They were pretty pushy, you know, so on. And in the end, they gave me a quote, which I thought was a quote. And I get, about 3 months later, I get a letter in the mail saying that Windows Concepts had a judgment out for me.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, it was completely crazy, you know. So I called a couple of people, you know, congressmen, called Windows Concepts, trying to figure out what's going on. And in the end, you know, it held true. I got stuck with $1,500 of a work order they said I signed, not a quote. And didn't even get a window, just had to chunk out $1,500. And I tell you, next time guy comes door to door, I open the door and say, no, thank you, and close it. Not worth my time.
All right, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, okay. Well, now I don't know, again, if he... That's the other thing, if you... I'm passing no judgment on Window Concepts and what they did there and what the situation was, because I'm not familiar with it. You do have to be aware of things you sign,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the other thing.
You shouldn't need to sign a quote.
Yeah, but if you do sign something and you sign the wrong thing, I guess, unless you can prove that you were bamboozled, I guess... And, you know, I'm assuming, Tenneby, that, you know, for the salespeople, the vacuum cleaner salespeople here that didn't have a lot of success on it, when they got back to the home office, did their boss call them out on the carpet? Who do you think wrote that? That's a Maury Amsterdam line. If salespeople didn't do well, would they get called out on the carpet during sales meetings? Maybe they would. It's actually a really good line. 3 seconds. Josh, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey.
Hey, Josh. What's up?
Oh, well, I grew up having Kirby vacuums. They are quality machines. So when I turned 18, I thought I'd try selling them. It was probably the most humiliating job I ever had.
Really?
Yeah. So same thing as the other two guys have said, you know, they're very pushy. And so I was trying to sat down with, girlfriend's aunt and uncle trying to sell the one as time. And I couldn't do it. I was humiliated by the whole process of trying to force people to buy something.
Yeah, I think you need a cell phone salesman right now because you're breaking up. I can't quite hear you.
In other words,
it was a bad experience for you. You worked a day and that was it?
that was it. I worked one day. I drove the next morning and dropped it off on a Sunday because I didn't want to even deal with it.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, well, sales thing, that's it. I mean, I'm one of those people, I do take no for an answer. I don't know how you are, Tinnaby. If I say something to someone, they go, no, thanks, I'm not interested. I'm go, okay, you're not interested. I'm moving on. I'm not going to, well, you know, but no. And I think as a good salesperson, you have to be persuasive. You have to have power. Whatever it is you're selling,
sure,
you probably get a lot of no's and a lot of, you can't hear no for an answer. You got to go, that's great. But here's what I'll tell you why it's going to work for you. And I'm not that guy. You don't want it, I'm gone. I'll move off in another direction. Like when I'm selling my book. Did I tell you I wrote a book?
You wrote a book?
After the show at Bogart's, it's step right up, come one, come all, for the greatest book on earth. You want to buy a book? I don't berate people. I might ask them to buy two or three if they wouldn't mind. But I just sell them, if you want to buy one, you buy one. If you don't, you don't.
Do you want me to go door to door and sell your books?
I really wished you would. What kind of a commission do you want? A couple, 13, 14 bucks? Our next phone call is from Josh. Josh, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Common.
Josh.
So pretty similar story to the other guys. You respond to a Craigslist ad saying, make $900 a week, up to $900 a week. Come in, sit down, little interview. They even told me to put a tie and some business casual on.
Sure.
So I go in there, you know, they're like, all right, you pass. We're going to have you in for orientation. You go through the spiel. They didn't even explain fully that I was going to be selling vacuums in the interview. And then you sit down for the training and they pull out a vacuum. You're like, okay. So I actually made it through all that. I saw the potential to make some money and I actually got out on my own selling those things and actually ended up selling about 22, 23 of them.
Really?
Back in 2013. And, I mean, no knock on the product. It's a great product, but I think it really depends on the sales outfit that you're working with. You said one guy was in Burnsville. There's a few other ones all around. And they definitely teach the whole, never say no to a sale.
Right, right.
They give you a profit margin. They start you out at $2,500, and then you have that profit margin of $2,500 to $1,000. So let's say you give them the spiel, they can't afford $2,500. You go, all right, let me give my manager a call, see if I can get you a deal.
Oh.
One of those kind of deals.
Sure.
And then you can keep working it down. You can say, well, and then say you get down to $1,800 after the $700 demo edition, you know.
Uh-huh.
We'll sell you the one we demoed in your house for you. And then you go, okay, let me give them a call. All right.
I see.
Sounds like we can. Oh, getting a call. Sounds like we can knock it down a little more, and you keep going down, down, down.
Until the bottom line is $1,000? Is it the lowest you can go?
So I sold probably 15 of them at about $1,500, and I still make $500 in a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good, Jing. That's like meat sauce doing stand-up comedy.
Ooh.
All right.
Sounds exactly right.
Josh, thanks for the phone call. We got a lot more calls to get to. We've got somebody who sold security systems door-to-door. Some people that how the salesperson got in their door, and we have the greatest Kirby vacuum cleaner story ever. All coming up yet. Other side of the break, Common Man Program on the Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
Hey, the programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research.
Couple 13, 14 passed here on the Common Man program. You know, come to think of it, Tennaby, you know, I don't have a Kirby vacuum. I have an old General Electric Electrolux a vacuum, and it hasn't worked very well in a long time. As a matter of fact, I don't use it often. It's just sitting over the corner collecting dust.
On fire today.
Yeah, the vacuum cleaner salesman stories continue. Do Amway salesmen still exist? You know what Amway is?
No.
Amway was a cleaning products company. Same thing. They come to your door. Hey, boy, I've got the best cleaning product for you. I've got something for everything. I got something for your bathtubs, for your kitchen sinks, for your floors. I think it's sort of like on Avon's level, though. I don't know if Avon goes door to door, do they? Does Avon call and make an appointment? Avon calling, remember their commercial used to be, there would be a doorbell that rang. Avon calling, that was what they did. Avon was a door to door where they would sell their lipstick, their baton rouge, their eyeliner, their base, their pancake makeup, all of those things. So I guess I didn't realize how many door-to-door salesmen there really are and how annoying they can be. This, of course, all based off a story Fishwrap Westside today about complaints from people about the pushiness of Kirby vacuum cleaner salesmen. Let's go back to the phone calls. Plenty of them to get to, including this one from Jamie. Jamie, you're on the fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Common.
Sure.
I just had a quick story last fall. Had a Kirby guy come up. It was 100% my fault. He had this little red tie on and real short pants and was just goofier than hell. And I said, he comes up and he goes, can I show you how to put a vacuum together in 5 minutes? And, you know, I kind of thought, it's a bad idea, but this guy, he's hilarious. I got to see what he's up to.
Okay.
So I let him in. Just terrible decision on my part. My wife was making dinner. My kid was there. And so about 10 minutes in of showing me how to do this, I was getting sick of him. So I said, hey, you know, we're going to eat dinner. Thanks for the offer, but you need to go. And honest to God, another guy walks into our house, didn't knock, just walked into our house, walked up the stairs and sat on our couch.
Really?
Huh?
Honestly. And at that point, I was a little frustrated. So I said, and the guy's like, hey, this is my buddy. He's here to help me with my sale. He's a new guy. We're trying to do this so we can take a trip to, I don't know, to help kids someplace. Made up some story.
Oh.
Why he was there. And so I said, I'm really uncomfortable with this, so you guys need to leave. And the guy said, well, just be a few more minutes. So I ended up, I should have just kicked him out, but what I did is I let my dog out, and he's about 100 pounds, and he came upstairs, and one of the guys said, does he bite? And I said, yeah. and I said, so I got a couple choices. You can leave, or I can put my dog on. And the guy,
brilliant.
And he's a big dog, and he was barking, and he was at him, you know, and he wouldn't do anything. He's a big baby.
Right.
But I said, yeah, I'll put my dog on you. And so the one guy leaves, and the other guy, honest to God, says, I'm not going anywhere until I'm done with my spiel. And at that point, I told my son, I say, hey, you know what, can you go in the other room, buddy? And I kind of picked the guy up because he's a smaller guy. I'm a little bit bigger. And I said, hey, I don't want to do this, but you need to leave or I'm going to call the cops or something worse is going to happen. And he just goes, okay, I get your point. And he walked out the door, goes right next door to my neighbor.
Right to the next one.
Yep, right to the next one. And my neighbor is a war veteran that doesn't really like people around very often. So I don't know how that ended.
Yeah.
But that's an honest story. I mean, yeah, the guy was not going to leave. And even with my dog up there, the one guy's like, basically sick him. I don't care.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so, nope.
Well, that was one way to do it. Either sick your dog on him or threaten physical violence and actually lift him off the ground. This is Josh. Josh, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I got a story. It was about 2 years ago. It was my wife's idea. She heard about the Kirbys and something about NASA makes the Kirbys. You got to have a Kirby. So the guy come in, the salesman came into the house, and he gave me the, let me show you what this thing can do a bit. And I said, sure, I guess. You know, it was basically my wife's call. So he started showing me, you know, how the thing's sucking up the carpet. He had me run my vacuum over it, and then he'd run the Kirby over it. Well, then he wanted to show me how it can get bed bugs out of it was a brand new king-size bed that we just had purchased. So he goes to vacuum my bed,
And I look, and I heard some kind of a, like a tear, and I look, and he put a 2-inch tear on my brand new pillow top king size bed.
No.
And so then I'm looking at my wife thinking, you know, this is all your idea. So long story short, I guess what happened was it took about 2 weeks. They ended up getting the main guys. I think it was, they were out of St. Cloud, Minnesota, because I live in Little Falls, Minnesota, but okay. The main guys come from St. Cloud. They come over. Within like 2 weeks, they decided they were just going to give me the dang thing. So I got a completely brand new one. I guess they told me it was worth about $2,500.
Sure it is.
Still have it to this day, running good. The only thing I would question on them is they're a little heavier, so some people don't like, you know, going up and down the stairs thing, the earlier caller. It is kind of heavy for, you know, a smaller woman or somebody with, you know, not as built to actually carry the thing up and down the stairs.
Did you put duct tape on your mattress? I'm more concerned about that. What happened to your brand new pillow top mattress?
Well, the 2-inch slit, we basically just had it sewed for next to nothing and ended up with a $2,500 vacuum. It was the, I think it was the 20-year edition, like the Kirby 2000 or something.
You got the best end of the deal.
It was a good deal. I paid like $30. I had the mattress sewed, and I got a $2,500 vacuum for nothing.
I'll let them into my house any day if they'll give me that same deal. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
go wild.
Well, yeah, somebody, I got an email, Tim, to be here, courtesy of the Bradshaw and Brian inbox, and this email says, bought one 20 years ago for $1,200, still going strong, wouldn't use anything else. It's not a pitch, but they'll get your carpet cleaner than any vacuum. Ask any carpet cleaner. I'm sure the product's great. I don't know why they don't sell at a store. They must have a lot of success with pushy salespeople, because if they're still selling them door to door and that's the only way you can get them, it must work. I don't think I'll ever own a Kirby because of that. I've got a Hoover, I think. Either that or an Electrolux. I remember when my mother-in-law and father, would never part with many things. They had, and I ended up getting rid of it, but they had one of those, it must have been like a 1960s type vacuum cleaner with the big bags on the side. It was a beauty, and it still worked. I should have kept it is what I should have done. But apparently the Kirby works. We got a few more Kirby phone calls and a few Kirby emails to get to regarding that. Plus Mark Rosen at 2 o'clock and a couple of more items to get to on the Common Man. Oh, here's another tease for you, Tenneby. How much is your life worth? For some, it's a lot more, and I'll explain when we return to the Grump.
Twins are back in action tonight. If they win, tomorrow you can go to papajohns.com, put in the online promo code TWINSWIN. You'll get 50% off a large or extra large pizza. The 5th annual Twin Cities Burger Battle returns to St. Paul's Harriet Island on May 19th. 25 new and returning restaurants will join previous Burger Battle winners to compete for the title and the right to be called the 2018 Twin Cities Burger Battle champion. Tickets are on sale now at tcburgerbattle.com. Level 13, 14 passed here on the Common Man program. There's a recommendation to me how to avoid that pesky salesperson. It's common to me, boy, listening to this segment on salesmen. It seems many people have issues getting rid of them. Well, I have mastered two techniques to get rid of door-to-door salesmen trying to sell you items in your house, or phone salesmen trying to sell you items for your vehicle, satellite radio, etc. Well, here's how you get rid of them. When someone opens a door and starts their pitch about siding, roofing, windows, etc., just say, "I don't own the house." That you'll give all the information to the landlord. That generally ends the sales pitch.
Brilliant!
Also, on the phone, I do the same thing when I get calls about my truck. I immediately inform them I sold that truck and no longer have it. End of sales pitch. These work every time. And with phone calls, I've noticed less and less of them as they may be updating their list that I no longer have a vehicle. Hope this helps. Some listeners love the Grumman. Keep it up. Hoping for nothing's going to stop us now for tomorrow's opener. I think a lot of people do as well, hoping that the Wild and or the Wolves win. I used to have a method when
Let's say you go to a golf course, Danny B, and it's you and, let's say it's you and your pal, and you're planning on playing a round of golf, and there's somebody there waiting at the first tee that wants to join you, and you don't really feel like letting them join you on that day. You basically, hey, looks like I'm playing with you, and you go, hey, come here for a second. Then you bring them over, and you go, my best friend, and there was death in his family, man. Guy got hit by a Peterbilt semi-truck, and so it's really a tough day for us. Oh, okay, I'll be fine. That generally gets the person that wants to join you to go ahead and say, I'll wait for the next group.
Brilliant.
Well, yeah, you're lying, but it's the
what happens if they don't, though? It could kind of backfire on you.
Well, then you just start going through the sordid details of it. Well, you just tell them, my buddy doesn't want to play with somebody else. He's devastated about the death. He doesn't want to make small talk. I have to be happy. This is a personal thing. We can't let you play along. There's no backfiring, but you're giving an excuse other than we just don't want you to join our group. It's foolproof. It's absolutely foolproof.
Brilliant.
There's no way around it. You just tell them. This is a life-changing discussion we're about to have here, and we really need to have our privacy today. Ron, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I was door-to-door with security systems for 5 years, and then I went into the office for another five and ran the sales department and all the stuff, installation and all the stuff. But there was a few things that door-to-door, you got to know that you got to have no's. You got to have 10 no's before you get a yes. So that always pushed you. You always had an answer for their objection.
Sure.
We were selling security systems anywhere from $1,200 to $2,500, but I could make $400, anywhere from $300 to $450 on an alarm.
Yeah.
So I only needed to sell, one or two of a week.
Sure.
Back in the 90s. But I had one salesman that would go out every day in suit and tie and everything else. And I tell you what, because we had financing right on the spot, he wouldn't leave the house, and he'd call me up, and I said, I need an installer. I'd send him over an installer. He'd put it in. He would sell 3, 4, 5 of them a week.
Seriously?
At $450 a pop.
So he was good. Well, yeah, some people are born to sell. Ron, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Well, some people are born salesmen. Even though I don't believe in you're born to do something, in the sales end of it, sometimes I think you are. I mean, because there are people that can make. I've always said if when the end of the end of the end comes and I need to continue to work, I'm not in any kind of shape at pushing 60 years old to do any manual labor. As a matter of fact, for the longest time, I thought manual labor was a center fielder for the Twins minor league system. I would want to find a sale. I would want to find a product that I could believe in to sell, like the Power Trip Morning Show. A dog with a note in its mouth could sell that show, right? Don't you think?
Yes.
But also, I would not want to sell a product where you have to make a lot of sales. I'd want that one where I sell that widget to that factory, and that's one of those, it's a $10 million deal. Because the company you're selling the widgets to is like General Motors. And it's a little sprocket for their motors that they have, and the sprocket costs. So your cut of your $4 million thing is you get your whatever percentage of it, and then you don't have to sell anything for a while. Sort of like my idea about if you're going to go into a life of crime, I want to make it just one hit, right?
Sure.
I don't want to just knock off a filling station and get $150 cash. That ain't worth it. If you're gonna come in, I want to rob the Louvre. Or something like that, so where you can really make a ton of dough. Up next, Dustin, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
I was just calling. I had a Kirby salesman come to the door about 4 years ago, and he brought a can of Febreze, and that's how I ended up letting him inside the house.
Uh-huh.
I felt guilty not letting him in because of that. And about a hour later, after politely telling him not interested, eventually I just had to say, I don't like the product. I don't like you. Please leave. And he still didn't leave the house. So I eventually my wife came and she said, can you tell this guy to leave, please? And he was standing right there. And me and my wife kind of head back and forth about, I've already asked him to leave, and we kind of got into an argument. And the whole time he was standing there, still trying to sell it.
What ended up happening?
Eventually, I just turned on the TV and gave him the silent treatment till he left. It took about 15 minutes of me just not talking to him.
It's astonishing, the nerve of some people. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
I'd call police at that point.
Well, yeah, it's like either leave now or I'm calling the police, right? Of course, then he'll leave at that point, but that's the object. I would think he would leave at that point. I don't think he's going to wait for the police. Another surefire.
They must get some cells off of doing the bully technique, but like,
well, sure they do,
because they keep doing it.
Sure they do, because people finally feel, well, the best way to get rid of him is just to go ahead and agree to the deal.
Sure,
right. Here's another method for getting rid of a phone salesman. He calls you up, starts talking, to go, hey, I'm kind of busy right now. Can I get your number and call you back? Right, because they go,
yeah.
Well, no, we don't really operate that way. And you say, oh, so you don't like me calling you at home either, right?
Brilliant.
It's genius.
Brilliant.
It's also, I think, a Seinfeld episode. Someone said it was a taxi, the one where it's Jim. Jim gets in the door, dumps dirt all over the guy's carpet, then goes to his bag to pull out his vacuum cleaner to demonstrate how well it works as a door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman. He goes, something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, but the line is something like, oh, I forgot I'm selling encyclopedias this week. I like it. This next phone call is from Brock. Brock, you are on the fan.
Yeah, hey, Common, first time caller, long time listener. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? What brings you to the ground? You got a horror story, or what's your tale today?
Yeah, I had a good buddy in high school. Actually, right when we were seniors, he got up with Amway, and he was trying to recruit some guys in class that he was friends with, you know, because they work off that pyramid, you know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he makes money and off of your friend, and then you make money off of that friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he calls me up one day, and he goes, hey, I want you to meet my friend. And it was the guy that hired him onto the company. And he was trying to sell me the whole bit, trying to get me to join him. And I just told him, no, I'm not interested. And he was trying to sell me the Amway to join with him, but I had to invest $500.
Right. It was kind of a pyramid scheme, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I was just like, you know, man, I'm not interested. And to this day, it's been 6 years since I've talked to him. He was my best friend. Haven't talked to him since.
Think about it. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember now, this is a jogging my memory, even though I don't run. I own a car. But somebody in the golf business approached me back in the mid-90s when I first started working at the Fan and became the golf ambassador. So before I became the golf ambassador, I was golf ambassador in training. And he had it was a golf pyramid scheme that at first I didn't realize it was a pyramid scheme because I was so naive. I didn't even know what a Ponzi / pyramid scheme was. But it was something where I was to sell, God, what was it now? It was something golf-related. And I had to get other people to sign up for it, and that's how I would make my money. Is the pyramid scheme, is that still, are those, don't most, that those don't exist anymore, do they? I mean, hasn't there been enough notoriety about pyramid schemes that you notice it right away and you go, whoa.
Oh, wait, I'm sure they're still out there.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't most people...
There's enough vulnerable people and
you think
naive
so?
People. Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe there is. I don't... Yeah, you could be right. This next phone call comes from Mike. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Common, good show.
Thanks.
I just got a quick thing on Kirby Vacuum. Mm-hmm. I was in college, mm-hmm. and we had a marketing class. And we had to do a demo of something.
Okay.
And one of the guys, he had just been through his Kirby training, just maybe like 2 days. So he hauls all his Kirby stuff in, and he's going to show how the shampooer works. Well, he hadn't really read all the details, and you were supposed to put the liquid that they have and then break it down with water. Well, he put it straight in there in the tank, and he had been out to lunch. He had, you know, 13, 14 cocktails before he did his presentation. And he started doing the shampoo, and it just came all out of the machine, and it was all, they had this little stage where you had to do your presentation, and it like almost covered that whole stage. Even when he turned it off, it still had like some kind of vacuum in the hose, so it just, the suds just kept coming out even after he had it shut off, so. Man, it was pretty funny. It gave the class a good laugh.
Yeah, that would do it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah. Here's another suggestion, Timmy. I'd never thought of this one. I think I've told you before how when I get the call from a salesperson or a bill collector, sometimes if I'm in the mood, I go into gadfly mode to get them going, which I know some people think is wrong, but I can't help myself. But here's an idea for phone salespeople. He says, if they ask for you, just tell them 1 minute and then set the phone down and then just leave it down.
Brilliant.
And leave it down and leave it down. Eventually, they'll get the message. This next phone call is from B-Town. B-Town, how you been? Thanks for calling.
Good. Yeah, thanks. I got a suggestion on that. If you go up to the golf course with a couple of your buddies, you don't want anybody else going with you, you just tell them you got another buddy running late and he's going to meet you on the second or third hole.
So.
We like to Cheech and Jethro it a little bit on the golf course, so we don't want to golf with anybody else.
I get that, B-Town. Thanks. Appreciate that.
The problem with that one, though, isn't sometimes the people working in the clubhouse actually say, hey, they only have three, go golf with them?
Yeah. I guess it's true.
I mean, as a solo, I don't ever want to join anyone else unless I'm told to join someone
right.
else.
Yeah.
I prefer to golf by myself.
99% of the time, if someone's there, I don't mind if they play. You know, I don't. That's one thing about golf is it's about the only activity, I think, in which total strangers will pair up to do an activity. Like, if you go to a bowling alley, they don't go, we're all full, but why don't you go down to lane 13 or 14 and join those three people down there? Or if you go to a restaurant, they go, we don't have any tables, but there's a four, there's a table for four there. There's only three. Why don't you join them and eat with them? It just doesn't work that way, right? But golf is one where they'll say, you go and join that group. I generally don't. There have been times where you literally just time. For me, it's more time consuming.
Yeah.
Every person you add to the group adds time to that round. A foursome is going to play 4 hours, 20 minutes. Threesome can play in 3:30 or less. Sometimes it's just a time constraint thing, I think, for me. I don't. Matter of fact, sometimes I like if they join me. Then I can show them that the club is my brush, the ball is my paint. And the course is my canvas. Chuck, you're on the fan. What's up?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of points there. I did telemarketing for a while, okay?
Okay.
And if you tell somebody, I'm not interested, all you're saying to them is, try and convince me.
Oh.
If you don't want to mess with a telemarketer, they take three no's and they're required to discontinue with you.
Okay.
Okay, so all you have to do is say, hi, I'm Chuck. No, 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 they got to get off. There's nothing more to it.
Really? Well, that's interesting, Chuck, because like you say about if you say, I'm not interested.
Exactly.
You're saying to yourself, well, let me try to interest you.
Well, okay. Like, for instance, the other day, a guy showed up. He's selling Kirby's, okay? And this guy he's a young kid, you know. He's like, blah, blah, you got a couple minutes? I'm like, no. He goes, I go, what are you selling? He's like, carpet. He goes, vacuum. So I'm like, I'm getting new carpet tomorrow. And I was getting new carpet tomorrow. He goes, well, you know, he's smart. What better opportunity to take good care of it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how, I mean, good salesmen, that's how you're trained. I mean, I was very successful telemarketing. If you could take no's, it can be a lot of fun. But in the same sense, I mean, when I was younger and I was a kid and I was married to my first wife, he goes to me, the guy comes in, he's like, Kirby, blah. I didn't have a pot to piss in, okay? And he's like, I go, how much? $2,000. I'm like, you're crazy. He goes, I'll do this room over here. He goes, and then we'll discuss it. He did the room, and my supper was ready, and I said, get the hell out, and he left.
And you got a free cleaning.
Well, I told him, he goes, you said you would, I go, I told you I wasn't buying anything to start, and you said you wanted to do it, you did it. Now get out. And he just... He wasn't pushy enough. I don't know what he was.
Yeah, he's probably out of the business. Thanks for the phone call, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls to get to. Got Mark Rosen to welcome into the conversation and so much more. The Grum on The Fan.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man.
Oh, boy.
Next on The Fan.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
A couple 13, 14 passed here on the Common Man program. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He is Tana B, and now we are joined by none other than Mark Rosen of Channel 4 Sports, Sports, Sports. Is your whole life just sports fame? At his Edit Bay in downtown Minneapolis. Mr. Rosen.
Yes, sir.
You know what? This, you never cease to amaze me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The older you get, the more you give, you never slow down. Think about this.
No.
Think about how much you put into your day that...
I know this is not going to end well.
Well, basically, the different... You're going to the X for the Wild game tonight, right?
Yes, I'm going there right after the show, as a matter of fact, to do an interview with CBS Internet.
Right. So what's interesting is, like Tana B says, you're going down there, so you're in your edit. You're literally 5 minutes from here, but your time, you're so busy, so precious, that if you came to the station today, that extra 5 minutes to go from here to downtown St. Paul, rather than from your television station, that 5 minutes is that precious to you, because you're always on the go. It's amazing to me.
Once again, your sheer ignorance of this business amazes me after all these years.
I'm complimenting you.
No, you're not. You're not. You're not at all. It's a backhanded compliment, much the way that... much the way
I don't even know what a backhanded compliment is.
Well, Nick Seeler is going to give Dustin Byfuglien one of those tonight.
Oh.
Backhanded, right across his chops. No, I got here even earlier so I could get some of my work done. Okay. And I know it's not radio. There's actually, we have pictures that we put together that we go on television and interviews and other things we have to get done. So
you need that 5 minutes. That's all I'm saying.
Not 5 minutes. It's been more like, it'd be like 45 minutes that I need. And if I go to your station... to our station, and then leave from there, I can't get my work done. You understand how that works? Because I know, you know, you just literally show up at 2 minutes to noon. I get that, and it works
sometimes
for you.
Sometimes it's 3 or 4 minutes.
All right, I get it, and that's the beauty of radio. You don't have to fill in with pictures or anything. You just talk. I get it. That's fine. It's terrific. You've made an art form out of it.
Well, I've got some more work for you. Do I need you to, I need you to chase a rumor.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And this is all I have. It's very mysterious.
Uh-oh.
It came to the Brad Sean Bryan inbox. All it says is, Parisi out, broken sternum. Parisi out, broken sternum. Now, is this fake news? Alternative facts? I don't know.
Well, why don't you ask the guy who was out there earlier today?
Well, you mean Tana B?
Correct. He was there. Was he practicing today? Yeah. Was it an optional practice?
Well, I leave before they practice.
You do?
I believe he did not practice today, but I don't know if that means anything.
Well, he was doing interviews after the game the other night and was standing up and didn't seem to be any discomfort. And again, that's all we know.
You know, Bruce did insinuate earlier today when I was on with PA that there was going to be a change, which after a 6-2 win, you would think that would be odd that if you are going to have a change, it's probably injury related.
Right.
But I don't have any...
And Russo Athletic hasn't chimed in yet? I'm shocked if he hasn't chimed in yet. Because he's got, like, every source in the world when it comes to the Wild.
You're acting like he's Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, and Clark Kent.
Well, it's his whole life.
But doesn't mean he knows everything.
No, I didn't say that. But you're saying someone emailed you this thing about Parisi. Huh.
And again, I don't know if there is anything to it. If it's an emailer, that's just trying to get us going. Now, is it unusual, Tana B, for a player of Parisi's ilk not to be at practice today?
I, Like I said, I wasn't there for practice. Okay. I don't know if it's optional, how optional. I don't know what kind of, you know, it's a morning skate. It's not like a
not everybody
practice.
Has to be there.
It wasn't a bad skate.
You know, a lot of times a veteran, you know, like Dumba after game two didn't practice the next day.
Okay.
Huh.
All right. Well,
anything can happen. I mean, they're pretty, you know, the NHL is, talk about an art form. They keep pretty close to the vest, to say the least, when it comes to information.
That's what my sources are telling me. So, again, if it turns out to be true, will you give me credit on the newscast tonight?
No.
But see, why wouldn't you?
Well, it's not your source. Because somebody emailed you. Someone emailed. By the time I say that, the sportscast will be over.
Whoa. No, you don't have to say. You just have to say
first heard on the Common Man
program. First heard on the Common Man program. I mean, don't you think that John Russo, he's got sources? That
correct.
Someone
has to tell him. I got some. Right. I have someone tell me about Kirk Cousins when he was going to sign with the Vikings that morning.
Right.
I get it.
So and we gave you proper credit. Said Mark Rosen is reporting.
Right.
So can't you go as Common Man reported today?
Nah, probably not.
Why?
You
would do it if it was a member of the morning show.
No, I wouldn't do it if it was a member of the morning show. I wouldn't do it if it was, I mean, unless we got, I need to get confirmation on it, obviously, before the game. And if that's the case, we'll get it from the Wild. I'm
reporting that Zach Parise's out.
Okay, you're reporting it. So that means you've sourced it out other than just getting an email. You have more than one source. You have good information other than somebody emailing you this tidbit.
What if it's emailed from Craig Leupold?
Well, Carly Zucker did say something. She's going to have some news tonight. I don't think she would be talking about Parise, though. She said something. Maybe she knew something. I know that the usual, and I don't know, I'm not going to say where, you know, the usual gang that gets together. I asked to ask her, so does Jason have the usual, does he eat the same thing before game time? Because basically, yeah, there's a group of about six or seven players at least. They get together at the same place for lunch before every game, and they pretty much eat same thing every time. And I know Zach is part of that group, but I don't know and didn't obviously pry into thinking that is he going to be there or not. There was no indication, obviously, the other night.
With this 5 minutes you're saving from driving
right
here to the, why don't you go make a couple of phone calls and see if you can find out?
All right, I'll work on that.
I would appreciate it if you would.
Interesting.
The head coach of the Wild said, is quoted as saying, all I know is we have to play better in game four than we did in game three, or we won't win game four. I don't know. I like that recipe. I thought that was pretty good now, but maybe he knows something. I think what he was alluding to is he expects a better effort from Winnipeg, but isn't that kind of taking a little bit of credit away from your team? Because I think part of the reason
they played awfully well the other night.
Yeah, the reason Winnipeg didn't play as well as they did in the first two games. I get it. It's a home game for the Wild, and they have that shift change advantage. But I also think the Wild kind of dictated that game a little bit more. Well, so why can't it be like, if we play like that again? I mean, I get what the
coach... I know what you're saying. I thought the same thing.
Maybe he doesn't want complacency to set in, too.
Well, I understand that, and he's right about the desperation factor. They're still in a desperate situation because they lose tonight.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
You know, they're thrown 3-1. They go back to Winnipeg, where the Jets have been pretty much invincible all year. But I don't know. I mean, especially after Winnipeg scored the first goal on a one that looks like Dubnyk should have saved, but Wheeler got the goal and thinking, oh, here we go again. They're going to be down 3-0 before this game is over, and Winnipeg's throwing their weight around. And, of course, we all know what happened, especially in the second period. The Wild just took the game over. They got a lot of traffic in front of the Winnipeg goalie, scored a bunch of goals, and Winnipeg just kind of went through the motions in the third period. I mean, I don't think we'll see anything close to that kind of a game tonight, and it certainly ended up being basically a two-period game the other night. The third period was, you know, let's just get through this thing. And then Winnipeg, correct, to their credit, the Jets didn't throw some cheap shots. They didn't, you know, start headhunting. They just went through the motions.
What happened in that third period of the hockey game was sort of what Dozier wanted to have happen in the Barrios one-hitter bunt game. You're supposed to just quit in this last inning. You're not supposed to try. And both teams, I think Wild and Jets kind of had an agreement, let's just skate out the third period and be
done. Once they got past, obviously the Jets, you know, you're down by four. Nothing's impossible, but once they got past certainly the halfway point of the third period, they weren't going to score four goals again. So I wasn't saying they stopped trying. It just was not... You know, no one was kind of going all out in that context. Sort of a basketball game when a team's up by, you know, 20 in the last, you know, 5 minutes or something.
It took me a while to figure this out, but I something occurred to me last night. The Wild have to win one on the road in order to win the series. So that makes tonight is imperative, isn't it? Because, I mean, again, teams have come back from down 3-1, but...
I don't
like it. What did you...
I just got a tweet from someone who... It was like, you know, 16 hours ago, some dude tweeted out, Zach Parise out for remainder of series against Winnipeg, broken chest bone. You heard it here first. Hashtag inside source. Now, this is a guy I don't know.
Now you're going with the rumors.
No, I'm just telling you.
You make fun of Common.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just telling you what you asked me if I heard anything.
Oh, 14 hours
I'm not going with that.
I heard about it first before Common. You can get the credit for the breaking
news story. I'm not getting credit. I'm not taking credit for anything.
Sounds like you're trying
to. Not at all. In fact, I just said it. I got a tweet from someone.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you think?
Well, it would be typical for the Wild to have to go through. I mean, it's interesting that Boudreaux was talking about, and maybe this is what he was hinting at. I heard his news, his conversation with PA, and he said something, again, which makes sense. You know, we don't think about something specific about Parise or anyone, that you got to have a lot of depth on your team because guys get hurt. And we saw the big defenseman, what's his name for Winnipeg, who, you know.
Right. Went down, the big 6'8 kid. What's his name? Curtis Tenenbaum. Who's the guy that went down for
Winnipeg? Myers, what's his name?
Myers.
Yeah. So
Tyler Myers.
Yeah, Myers guy.
So you think to yourself, are we supposed to read in between the lines there? That, well, we know Suter's obviously out, and you know Spurgeon's back, and the Wild been pretty healthy. Or was he trying to hint that, well, we're going to be our depth will be tested because this is going to happen? So I don't know. We don't know anything more than what you said. And again, I'm looking at a tweet that some guy named Steve, whatever his name is, Mr. Sports Picks, sent out. And, you know, when did he send it out? He sent it out last night. When's the 16th? Last night? Yeah, 9:45 p.m. He sent it out. And someone who listens to the show all the time just retweeted. Ryan retweeted it, sent it to me, and said, that's all I have. So it's interesting that maybe there is something to it. I don't know. We'll find.
Well, we'll find out by certainly by game time. If he doesn't take a shift, he's out. But I think we'll find out before that. Right, but I'm just saying we will know for sure by then.
But
if number 11's not right. suited up, number 11 ain't playing.
Right. So Tana, what happens in that situation if that's the case?
I'm guessing Tyler Ennis would be inserted in the lineup. Whether they, you know, I would assume they'd still keep that top line together.
Right.
Koivu's more of a checking line, and Ennis is not a checking forward.
Yeah.
So not sure if he would just take Parisi's spot. Maybe they'll do some other line juggling.
Well, again, let's hope it's not true. But
they might want to reunite him with Cullen and Coyle, too.
Yeah.
So maybe put Jordan Greenway on that line.
It'd be a big blow because Parisi's been playing outstanding hockey.
Well, and that would be my question. Again, Parisi and Suter both seem to be... Would this be accurate to say there's to some people that are polarizing figures because... Because of the money that they're making, people expect the team to be better because when you're making that money, you should lift those guys. They've never gotten out of the second round with these two players.
Right.
Now you're but they still are important members of this team.
Well, of course.
If both Suter and Parise are out,
right.
It seems highly, especially if it's for long, it's going to be hard to win without Parise, would it not?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is missing
a more significant loss than Parise.
Really?
But yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh was missing their top defenseman last year. Was on the Letang out the whole series?
Yeah.
And they won the cup. So, yeah, I mean, of course it is. You don't want to lose a guy that, when the Wild, you know, in spite of the fact they scored six goals the other night, this is a team certainly on the road. It's been challenged to even get quality shots on goal to see nothing of actually scoring goals. And take a guy like Parise, who has been playing, I mean, obviously the last month in particular, month and a half, when he got his legs back and he got his game back, which has been playing, you know, pretty outstanding hockey and doing what he does so well. And it's obviously very hard to replace someone like that. So I'll see if I can, I'll check around here if I can explore a little bit during
the commercial. Why don't you do break. A little bit of that? Yeah.
Well, thanks for the heads up.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. It's all I do is, I mean.
I know. You set up, put him on the tee, and we'll see if we can hit him out of the park.
Well, again, and you know what? Here's what I'll do for you because I don't want to do the groundwork for this. You go ahead and find out, and if you break the story, you can take credit.
I'm not taking any.
I don't need any
credit for any of this.
Because it really doesn't
matter
to me. I
hope it's wrong. That's why I don't really care. Yeah. I mean, I care as a you sure like, report it.
But. You sure like having credit for the Maurer story and the Cousins story. You don't sure shy away from that.
Well, how about the Favre story?
And I'm offering an opportunity for you to have to break one of the biggest stories of the year. And I'm just I'm saying you don't. I'm going to let you go ahead and instead of me going in and working the back channels to find to confirm it, I'm going to let you do that.
That's
the kind of guy I am.
Well, I'll see if I can get an answer here.
I figured you could.
All right.
While one team, or one coach of one of the local teams says the team has to play better to win. In order to win, from the last time. I'm screwing up my tees. The other local team, they better play better than they did last time if they want to win. We'll explain. We'll talk about the Wolves when we come back with Mark Rosen on the Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword BANG to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BANG to 200-200.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promised lands, to show you everyone it's the time of the season for
couple 13, 14 passed on the Grom. I'm Common. He's 10 to be. He's Mark Rosen, Channel 4 Sports, Edit Bay. Were you able to find anything out during that break?
Crickets.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've texted a couple people. I haven't heard back from anyone. And, someone said that he was listening to PA this morning. Parisi was part of the morning skate. So, I'm not putting any stock in it.
Okay.
That's
because
all.
I'm just wondering if...
No.
Well, I'm going to stick with my source.
That's fine.
My source tells me... Parisi broken sternum, he's out.
Okay.
So I'm going.
Okay.
So you're dismissing mine then? Okay.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm
like
just saying
just
that I don't.
You were going to put a lot of stock into is what you just said.
I said I'm not putting any stock in one email you got, is all I'm saying. I mean, it's just.
I trust my source. Do you trust me?
No.
Well, there's that.
Do you need to remind him of Brett Favre listed as out?
Yeah.
But that was your source. That was you actually giving the information.
Well, when I said emailed him, my source is my... He emailed me the information.
Okay.
He's my source.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, I'm not... not a situation where I'm hoping you're wrong or right.
Source,
I'm just saying I don't have any other information. I texted a couple of people really quick during the break, and I've not heard back.
And my source has been wrong before, too. There was during the Vikings quarterback thing, my source told me... You can. I don't remember what it was. I basically said you can take to the bank the re-signing Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with it. I said
right.
My source says they're going to re-sign Keenum. My source was wrong.
Correct.
Or maybe he was right at the time and management changed their mind. Because remember, if you believe the reports, the first phone call the brass hats with the Vikings did as soon as free agency started was to New Orleans. And Drew Brees, they didn't call that. They had,
correct,
right? Isn't that wasn't
well?
That
they
the
kicked
report?
The tires on
right.
it. Yeah, they were going to find out what Brees was going to looking for. But I think that everyone pretty much knew he was going back to New Orleans. But still, of course, they made a phone call.
But that's my point is that there was no guarantee that they were going to sign Cousins because if Drew Brees would have said, "You know, I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I've really been thinking about a change. Let's talk." Kirk Cousins, and he agreed. Drew Brees, if they had a choice, don't you think if they had a choice between Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, if both would have said, yes, I'll sign, wouldn't you think they would have signed Brees rather than Cousins or not?
Interesting call.
I mean, I think most teams would, but maybe not. Cousins is younger.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you get more bang for your buck when you look at, although Brees has kept himself in, obviously in excellent shape, has been really durable, and his production remains, elite. So, I mean, but, I think if you're looking for a championship in the next 2 years, I think you go, well, how do you turn down Drew Brees? I mean, he's still really, really good. But obviously the Vikings, as we saw yesterday with the signing of Kendricks and Zimmer's, mantra to Rick Spielman is, look, go ahead and sign Kirk Cousins, but I want to make sure I keep my guys together on defense that I worked so hard when we were at the bottom of the barrel defensively. And they've done that with Harrison Smith and Rhodes and Linville and Everson and now acquiring Sheldon Richardson and then signing up Kendricks, and you still got Anthony Barr to go. And then, next year you got, on the offense, you got Diggs. So, I mean, there's, they're making it work right now, and that's really what matters.
The Wolves tonight, talking about our other winter playoff team in town, where Boudreaux said we've got to play better than we did in a 6-2 win in order to win tonight.
Right.
It's a guarantee that the Wolves have to play better than they did because, for me, it wasn't so much like I was talking, follow me on this for a minute. When I was talking about, I think what the Wild did in that game against Winnipeg had a lot to do with Winnipeg not playing their best game. Houston didn't play a very good game, and I don't think it had a lot to do with Minnesota. Some of it, I'm not gonna take all the credit away, but I think it was mostly just really cold shooting on the part of
the Rockets.
In other words, I think for the Wolves to win, they have to hope the Rockets have another game like they had the other night.
Well, again, tomorrow night. Thankfully, it's not tonight. We got.
Oh, it's not. Oh, that's right.
No, it's tomorrow night. So that's good. That's good news for fans, and we want to watch both playoff games and staggered times, of course, the other night. But I think the immense pressure for the Wolves is going to be on Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, that's where this discussion begins and ends. Is that you can't have the guy taking 9 shots, and whether or not Houston warms up, hits more higher percentage of 3-point shots or not, if Towns isn't more active and isn't more aggressive in terms of his shot selection and just pure shooting, the Wolves aren't going to win that game. And I don't think they'll be as competitive. I mean, it's really astonishing that they were as close as they were and had a chance even at the buzzer to tie it and send it to overtime with Karl-Anthony Towns virtually invisible for the entire game. So I think that's what you're going to see tomorrow night and how obviously Houston counteracts that. But I think the Wolves probably gained a sense of confidence by how they probably look at it a little differently than the way you laid it out. I mean, I think they probably will. Is that, God, we didn't play. We played far from our best game. No one really stood out. Derrick Rose did well off the bench, and obviously, hit some big shots. And Wiggins did okay. But I mean, we can play, and we'll play a lot better. And we still only lost by 3. So, that's playoff basketball too. I think that's the encouraging part. I think if they somehow were able to come out tomorrow night, and if they lose by a couple points again, I don't think anyone expects this team to win more than one, and that's that could happen Saturday night here. I mean, I Houston is, I'm gonna say they're a one man gang, but because Chris Paul had a bad night the other night, but Harden's gonna score 40 points. If James Harden wants to score 40, he's gonna score 40. You got to stop the other guys, and the Wolves did a pretty good job, other than Capella beating them up early, of doing that.
Capella dominated Towns in the first half, though, but I mean, he took Towns out of his game. Capella was. I mean, and not even so much that, but it was where Towns could do nothing to slow Capella down. I mean, he had 20 points, I think, in the first half.
I didn't, again, 10 rebounds. It sounded like he was. That's the thing where Carl is not. I saw he doesn't block a lot of shots. He doesn't. He's not known for his defensive acumen. You know what I mean? He can certainly get in the way, and he's certainly capable of that. He's more than a decent rebounder. But as far as a guy who's going to alter the shots all the time, you don't see that a lot with Towns yet. And that's part of the growing process of maturing. He's still, especially for big guys, it usually takes him a little longer. I'll take my chances with Karl-Anthony Towns over the next 5 years and how he's going to develop his overall game. But and Capella's not an old guy. He's a young guy, but he was taking it to him the other day.
In talking to people and reading some things, Butler takes the last shot. And after further review, not only did he miss the shot and take an awkward off balance shot, he was inside the 3-point line and they needed a 3-pointer.
Yeah, that's what I saw that video, and that's what I was.
But also the people are claiming that Teague was wide open asking for the ball at the time.
Well, his arms were up.
Right, and wide open. And some people think, I've heard people say, Butler's got to see him and he's got to make that pass because it was a bad shot by Butler.
Oh, absolutely it was.
I mean, even if he makes it, there's going to be a bit of luck to that because it was an off-balance, fadeaway, 3-pointer, hurried shot. Had to be hurried.
Sure.
But, I mean, do you think there's some hero ball to that, hero ball, right?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm the guy, I'm going to take over. And it's like Butler, because he's considered the team leader and the alpha male, he almost felt obligated that I'm supposed to take this shot. And he's not even looking to see.
I've seen it enough this year. I've seen it a bunch of times with Butler at the end of the game. And I don't think Jimmy Butler's really good at creating his shot, getting in the lane. I don't think you think of Jimmy Butler as being a 3-point shooter. He's certainly capable of making him, but drawing fouls, getting the lane, hitting off-balance shots. He's got a vast array of talent. But in that case, I mean, we're not talking about, Jordan here. And if someone's open, especially when the opponent knows that Jimmy Butler's probably going to take the shot, you've got other guys that are very capable of making it. And, that we see that time and time again with other teams. And I think the Denver game here, he had the same sort of situation. We've had other ones where, they're hurry, and then it's like, what? Didn't you guys talk about this during the timeout? This was the best option you came up with? That's what's baffling, is that, you know, Tibbs has got to be saying, look, you're going to get two guys on you at least. Keep an eye open for the open guy. You know, in this case, it was Jeff Teague, and they left him open.
Well, break. We'll come back. I want to talk about Puerto Rico with Mark Rosen. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Common Man Program and the Fan. Well, 13-14 passer in the Common Man program. I'm the Common Man. He's 10 to be. Mark Rosen with us. And do any more investigating during the break on?
Nothing. Nothing I got. I got nothing.
I do have another story, though. Starbucks said today would close more than 8,000 of its stores in the United States permanently. No, on May 29th, for one day, to conduct racial bias training for nearly 175,000 employees. Of course, this move comes amid the controversy prompted by the arrests of two African-American men at a Starbucks location in Philadelphia last week. I'm reading from a New York Times story. Kevin R. Johnson, company's chief executive, said in a statement today, I spent the last few days in Philadelphia with my leadership team listening to the community, learning what we did wrong, and the steps we need to fix it.
Well, good for them, being proactive about it. They needed to be.
I think most people are familiar with the story. The two men asked to use a restroom in the shop. Employee refused the request because they hadn't bought anything, according to officials. They then sat down, were asked to leave. Police were called. But the prosecutor's office and they were arrested. They were handcuffed and let out. The prosecutor's office in Philly reviewed the case, declined to pursue charges against the men because of, quote, a lack of evidence that a crime was committed. The employee no longer works there. So
the other, speaking of Philadelphia, the other A-section story is that there was one fatality in the Southwest Airlines plane. Have you heard about that? It had engine failure, made its emergency landing this afternoon, and there was a fatality. The engine just, I mean, looked like something out of a horror movie. The left side, the left engine just, it wasn't like a bunch of birds flew into it. It just blew up. And, well, obviously you have to hear the reports from the NTSB about what happened, but sadly there was one person that that died in the incident.
So we'll keep you abreast on that, as we always do here, and Big Ticket is always on top of those stories. Sure. Let's take a couple of phone calls before we talk a little bit about your hometown nine, who are in Puerto Rico. By the way, I had thought I heard a report that heavy rains were forecast for Puerto Rico during game time. Is that true?
Well, I heard like Mahler talk about it. It's sort of like when you're on the tropical islands. I mean, there's usually a passing shower at some point, and I don't think anyone's thinking it's going to be an all night affair. And believe me, after what they've gone through here, they'll wait as long as they have to play these two games. I think from what I understand, they'll be fine and be able to get the games in.
Okay, very good. Let's take a couple of phone calls here, including this one from Terry. Terry, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going today?
We're going well. What do you got for us?
Hey, first of all, I keep forgetting. I need a moniker.
Okay, what's your moniker going
to
be?
I need to be Terry the Mail, my boy.
Tail the Mail, my boy. I like it. You're Terry the Mail, my boy.
Yes, sir.
All right, very good.
It's a Long Prairie to play with us this summer, right?
I would love to. You know I will.
All right. Well, you saved some face, Rosie, mentioning the fact that Butler's pathetic attempt at a game-winning shot would have been a game-losing by one shot. Because, you know, a lot of guys were at. I listened all day yesterday. I was waiting. Tried calling in at 9 to noon. Nobody saw it. Nobody mentioned it.
Not funny.
But the bigger problem is that the offense of Tibbs is so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's standing around, and we don't have a guy to go, you know, crazy like LeBron or
Jimmy Harden.
Well, there aren't many of those around.
No, and it's just so frustrating to watch. You know, Wiggins tries to make a move, and he just flops around. It looks horrible. And he's just out of control if he tries to do a spin or something inside.
All right.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating to watch.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Oh. Whoops.
Well, someone did send an email, and the subject line is Jimmy Butler's overrated. It says, people love Jimmy Buckets because he's perceived try hard. Baby brother Peter calls guys like that in basketball, they call his buddies, they call people like that tryhards. You ever heard that? That
I have not heard that.
I have not, but the kids use that. They call them tryhards.
Okay.
You know, they try hard. Tenneby would be a tryhard. If Tenneby was playing tiddlywinks,
sure,
he'd be trying as hard as he could to win the game.
Uh-huh.
Tenneby would be
sure. Why
tryhard.
Play if you're not going to try to win?
Right, because you're a tryhard. People love Jimmy Buckets because he's perceived to be a tryhard. He is high-effort, second-tier talent. It's good that he wants to take the last shot, but the problem is he's not a matchup problem for the other team and can easily be defended. The top talents can get their own shot or draw enough attention to get the ball to other shooters. There might be some truth to that. I'm not paying as close attention to the league as I once did. But
I think Butler's overall skill set is pretty... he's an all-star and a multiple all-star for reasons. And it has not, again, you can love the guy or appreciate his game and still be very critical of what he did the other day. And I think a lot of fans, and it's not the only time we've seen it. That just maybe as much on Tibbs to say, look, don't be a hero. If you're not open, you know, look, someone will be open. You just do the math. If you got two guys on you, perhaps even a third sliding over, someone will be open. And then, you know, you got to hit a three here to tie it. So, you know, it's pretty simple math, and you know, we see other teams work the ball around, and that LeBron doesn't always take that shot. Harden doesn't always take that shot. If you got two guys floating on him, you got to kick it around. And same, look, you know, obviously you got a team like Golden State, which I watched last night late. They got an array even without Curry. They got three guys that can knock down threes from there with Durant and Klay Thompson and Iguodala. They got everybody that basically can do that.
Our next Alexander Graham Bell correspondence comes from Scott. Scott, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Common, I have to say, for there being a lot of snow on the ground, you're doing quite a bit of gardening today.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. Yeah, that's what I do. You know, sometimes we call it snow mold.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Say, I just wanted to tell a quick story, and then I have a question. I played for Gustavus back in 2009 for football, and Rosen probably knows a guy named John Gagliardi, who coached for St. John.
No, yeah, slightly, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
John Gagliardi.
We're playing at their homecoming. I play defense. Play kind of goes towards their sideline. Of course, he's 5 feet on the field, and no one tells him to back off. and the ref throws a flag at the end of the play. He throws it on their whole lineman. Gagliardi yells. He goes, "What's that for?" And the ref turns around and goes, "Holding." And Gagliardi yells back, "We don't teach holding at St. John."
Oh, my God. Did he really say that?
I like that.
Unbelievable.
Classic. That's really funny.
We don't teach holding at St. John's.
No.
Just comes natural.
Does your Honda Pilot have a navigation package in it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're going to be able to get to St. Paul tonight.
Oh, I've been to St. Paul more than you could even imagine.
Nice. Thanks, Scott. Right, appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll meet you at Lowertown this summer and buy you a brewski.
Always.
Yeah, right.
Do you know there's more to St. Paul than Lowertown,
I've been.
Rosen?
Yes, I know. I've been to St. Paul more than you have because that's the next sport on the agenda.
Okay. Let's take a
phone.
Come
on, Mancini's?
Let's take this next phone call from Luke. Luke, you're on the fan.
Hey, how are you, Common?
Okay. I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
Hey, can I get a moniker, Common?
Sure.
Maybe Cat Got Your Tongue Guy?
Cat Got Your Tongue Guy. That's it's a very good moniker, and it's all yours. Yeah. I've been in that same situation before. What do you got for us?
Well, I was asking. I mean, I could talk sports, but I kind of wanted you to comment a little bit on like corporate responsibility here with social media. I just think in the last week it's been kind of ironic with what happened at Southwest. Now you got this Starbucks situation. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts, guys? I'd love to hear it.
I'm not sure what you mean by the social media part of it.
Yeah, what do you mean by corporate responsibility? Yeah. So,
I guess I just feel like, you know, with the videos, with the fact that the information can get out there so quick, it can be, is it fake news? Is it not fake news? So on and so forth. We've all heard that term lately.
Okay.
But I was calling to find out what your guys' thoughts were. I mean, do you think that social media in some ways holds large corporations a little bit more responsible because they have to answer more quickly?
Thanks, Luke.
I think the Sun Country.
Yeah, I think absolutely it does. Absolutely.
I think the Sun Country story, certainly locally, which has now become a national story, was to a great extent generated by social media because you have all these passengers that were stranded in Mexico and couldn't get back. Because Sun Country could not fill their flights with their own flights, so they had to say, well, you want to get back, make your own arrangements. And now, apparently, they're trying to come up with some sort of make good on it. They're offering to pay all return trip expenses for 250 passengers. So some of these families are paying $2,000 to $3,000 to get their families back. And I think a lot of that was social media driven, because people were taking, you know, Instagrams and feeding the media stuff with stories of firsthand accounts. So in that case, it was probably really proactive and put Sun Country on the defensive, and rightfully so. They had an answer to people, and I think that was to a great extent, because those people were down there, had access to Facebook Live or whatever they could do. That's a real positive way. And that's certainly what happened in Philadelphia with the video. And video is almost there for everything now, and that's the thing. No matter what it is, someone seemingly will have a video of it. And you got to be careful with how, you know, news organizations treat it. To turn it into more than what it is. But, you know, and like I said, with Sun Country in particular, that was a perfect example of how it generated that kind of interest.
I would think social media has made the biggest impact, the greatest impact on the way news is delivered and reported and found out about since the Pony Express. It's the biggest change, right? I mean, because now there's, if it's anybody can be a reporter on site because of the cell phone, right?
Correct.
All of a sudden you see something going down. I mean, that's the second story that, and I guess the story I saw this morning regarding Starbucks was Los Angeles based. The video first appeared in January, but apparently didn't make a lot of noise until what happened in Philadelphia. But there's a picture. I watched the video this morning. It's somebody standing outside a bathroom at Starbucks in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
White guy comes up. Mm-hmm. The guy on the phone says, did they give you that code for the bathroom? Because you had to have a code to punch in to get in.
Right.
Did they give you that code without buying anything? He said, well, yeah. Guy walks back into the store, the white guy that got the code, mm-hmm, without buying anything.
Right.
The guy with the cell phone comes in and goes, why did you let him go in the bathroom without a code and you wouldn't give me the code because I didn't buy anything? Is it the color of my skin? Mm-hmm. Is that what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person behind the counter gets all upset and goes, Buster, you have to leave right now. Oh, you get out of this. It's a private place. I want you out. And that's where the video starts.
Sure.
But again, back in the day, that would be, well, it wouldn't even be a news story.
No.
And then not only would it not be a news story, but even if you did report, remember saying, you made it up. You're making it up as you go along, but if you've got video proof of it now, it's a whole different story.
Video proof that has to be filled in with facts. I mean, Philadelphia video, you know, on face value, looks as awful as it possibly could be, and as it turned out, it really was. But until you get the information behind that,
you
have to wait, and that's the problem with waiting. Nobody wants to wait for anything anymore. As soon as you see something on Twitter or Facebook, whatever it is, it must have happened that way. And that's where you have to, the cautionary tale is you got to kind of, you know, fetter this stuff out a little bit and make sure that you get it right. But in that case, absolutely. I mean, the video, without the video, it's a non-story. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right, because most people are going to say, well, it never really happened.
Well, even if it did, it's not the outcry. I mean, there's just not going to be the kind of...
Yes, that's true, too. That's true. Yeah. There wouldn't be that kind of outcry.
Correct.
What else was there?
Oh, the Twins you were going to talk about.
Oh, Twins.
Well, it's a big night tonight. I mean, it's a big weekend. Very emotional time.
We haven't played in about a month and a half, it feels like.
It kind of feels like it since last Thursday. And, you know, obviously first two games against Cleveland, which looks like right now going to be their only competition. I mean, the Twins and Cleveland should separate from the pack, I think, pretty easily with Detroit, Chicago, and Kansas City. Not seemingly going to be in a position roster-wise to make a move. But beyond the games tonight, which aren't going to settle anything other than, you know, two great pitching matchups with Oda Rizzi facing Kluber tonight, and then, of course, tomorrow night, Barrios pitching in his native Puerto Rico. And it's going to be a real emotional time. Obviously, the recovery from the hurricane is still still happening. But for baseball fans in particular, this is a really big deal. And I'm sure that the last couple days with Francisco Lindor of the Cleveland Indians and Rosario and Barrios in particular from the Twins making the rounds and visiting, you know, kind of where they grew up. I mean, this is a really big deal. So it's cool that they're doing it. The Major League Baseball is doing it. And that it goes way beyond a couple of baseball games. So it's I'm sure a lot of players from other teams. In fact, Carlos Correa was talking about how jealous he was when Houston was here last week. That God, I wish we were playing down there. I would have loved to have been there because he was one of the players who got through the system and made it. And so it's pretty cool.
There was, of course, you know, reporters are looking for every angle on every story, and there was the. Do the Twins feel they're getting short shrift because they're considered the home team here, which means they're taking away two actual home games from Target Field.
Oh, yeah,
but I liked what the team said. And besides, they seem to play better at Cleveland.
That's what Molitor said.
Yeah, than they do at Target Field.
It took like 9 out of 10 from us at Target Field last year.
So I do start to think, you know, we all know there is an advantage, for the most part, playing at home. I still, though, do believe, I'll use a cliche for one of my favorites, the cream rises to the top. The best teams generally win home or away. So for me, it's a much ado about nothing. You either score more runs than the other team or you don't. It doesn't matter.
Well, especially if you got a special occasion like that. I don't think anyone's going to lose anything by.
I wouldn't
think. It's not like the NFL playing, you know, in London, for instance, when, you know, the Vikings lose a home game. When you only have 8 home games and you lose one of them,
right?
Your fan base, you know, feels like, well, wait, we lost out on, you know, and one of 8 as opposed to 1 of 82. So, oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but Joe Mauer's leading the major leagues in hitting right now.
Yes, he is. And he's also leading them in on base percentage as well.
So,
I believe I saw.
Of course, he's had 34 at bats.
Do you think there was, again, after his 2000th hit the other day, there was a lot of conversation. Is he a Hall of Famer? Do you think do you think he's a Hall of Fame player?
He certainly was on track for it with the.
Well, he's got 3 batting titles and an MVP.
You know, he's going to certainly be in the conversation. I think, you know, certainly the years, those years when he was hurt and then the concussion, and it had an effect on him. He still has a chance. I mean, his career's not over even after this year. I think he's still going to play some baseball, obviously at a much lower pay scale. But I think he's certainly going to be in the conversation. I mean, I don't know if he's I don't think he's a first ballot guy, but and to think about it, he just reached 2,000 hits, and you think, wow, that's, and you think of the guys who've reached 3,000, including his manager,
right?
And Molitor had a lot of injuries when
he
played.
3G club.
I mean, that's just incredible to think of all the base hits it took him, and how many more years to play the game. And Mauer's turning, what, 35 this week? I think his birthday's this week. I should know. I always get him a cake.
You're right. You would know.
So he's turning 35. That's in a blink of an eye. I just remember him walking through Midway Stadium and playing his last high school baseball game for Creighton.
Think about it.
Creighton-Durham Hall. I'm getting all weepy about it here.
Well, I got an email from someone that said, regarding the Mauer thing, said... I don't think Mauer is a borderline Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
BaseballReference.com's Hall of Fame monitor already has him a 98. A likely Hall of Famer is 100.
Wow.
And it certainly appears he has a lot of career left. He's not that old, really. He's not even 35 yet. Jaws, which measures a player's top 7 consecutive peak years, has him as the 7th best catcher of all time. Catcher is a position you simply can't expect a guy to play at a high level for a long time.
They don't.
There are only a few exceptions over the years. Guys like Carter, Bench, Fisk come to mind.
Right.
He writes, Bench, Carter, Rodriguez, Fisk, Piazza, Berra. Those are the 6 catchers that are above him in Jaws, and Piazza was a defensive catcher. Mauer is a lock. I'll be shocked if he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and you know, those guys, all those guys you mentioned had power to spare, too. I mean, you think.
Well, that's it. And me, you know how I am.
Right.
I think there's too many players in all Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know you.
As I look at that list, right. I you probably can make an argument for every guy statistically, but the only name that really jumps out at me of all those guys, Berra and Bench. I know Carter was good. So was Rodriguez.
I know what you're saying.
But it's like,
I get it.
You know,
I get it. There's separation when you start naming your, you know, all-time baseball players and all-time teams. Go around the horn and certainly on the outfield and behind the plate. I'd say Berra and Bench would be the first two I'd think of.
Here's some controversy. You ready for this?
Sure.
Mike Florio, report. Aaron Rodgers, frustrated with being frozen out of personnel decisions.
What else is new?
Yeah.
That's not the first time that's happened.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, reports that Rodgers had grown frustrated and emotional with the organization in connection with some critical moves that have been made this offseason, including the decision to replace QB's coach, Alex Van Pelt, and the release of receiver Jordy Nelson. An unnamed source close to Rodgers told Charles Robinson both of those decisions were made without him. In both situations, he had no influence with the front office before anything went down. Well, should he?
He's not. Yeah, that's not your job.
I wouldn't think.
No, I mean, I don't think they...
I mean, you could make the argument that a player of that ilk... Is Brady, is he, you know, because he's on that level. Is he? Is do they talk to him before? Do they consult with him before decisions are made?
Well, first
I don't think
he got, he got upset about the way the wasn't there a schism about the way the Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
Right, so there
well,
no,
and also the player who was benched. What's his name for the Super Bowl?
Oh, right.
Malcolm Butler was that it? Who was the player?
That was Butler. Yeah,
I mean, players. I don't think Bill Belichick consulted with Tom Brady, and then some of his teammates were very upset that he wasn't playing in that game here against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't think Belichick, wait, what do you think, Tom? Do you think it's okay if I bench him or not bench him? I mean, we're kind of dealing with some stuff going on here.
If Rodgers demands a trade and you're Rick Spielman, do you offer Cousins for Rodgers straight up?
Okay.
Well, would you?
No.
What?
You'd rather have Cousins
Of course,
than
Rodgers? Okay, first of all, I mean, just really think about what you're saying. I mean, it's
I'm just asking a question.
Well, of course, Aaron Rodgers right now is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Never and ever, amen.
Well, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Speaking of Hall of Famers, yes, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. But, I mean, I said no right away because, it's such a preposterous.
They said that about Favre coming here, too.
Yeah, remember
Favre
that?
Favre was a free agent. He wouldn't get traded here.
Well, but what if he demands to be traded?
Okay, well, they're not going to trade Kirk Cousins. They got to. How many millions of dollars they just guaranteed him? Move on. Go sign Johnny Manziel. So that was your pet project for 2 months.
So you wouldn't
two
trade
months.
I Kirk didn't. Cousins. Okay. That's what you just basically said. We just heard it on Save the Audio.
Because it's so ridiculous that you're talking about it.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I got to get out of here.
All right, me boy. You got to get going. You got to get down to the X.
Yeah, you give me migraines.
Are you going to be on CBS Sports today?
Just the internet stuff I do for him. Yeah, I don't know what I don't even know what it is.
Get it done. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
Mark Rosen, Channel 4 Sports Fame, 10 to B. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 12 noon. Hang around though. Dan Burrow and JG, they are next.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.